Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
It's the start of a new year.
Something we find immensely helpful is to sit down at the end or beginning of the year and review our progress from the last 12 months and determine where we want to go over the next year.
Yeah, this can be incredibly powerful to achieve the things that you never thought were possible. So we are excited to share this conversation that will help you to take your English and your life to the next level in 2022. Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and...
eggnoggin.
...way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding your bike, riding down a snowy hill, or even...
taking down your Christmas tree.
I'm joined here in the global studio by the one and only Justin Murray. How's it going, Justin?
Oh yeah, great to be back. It's been a long time, but I'm happy to be here. How's it going with you?
Doing pretty well. As we're recording this, I'm currently in Colorado, so it's nice to be with family for the holidays for a bit, and truly feels like Christmas, you know, snow falling outside.
That's awesome, back in the Rocky Mountains. For listeners, dear listeners, for those of you who don't know, Ethan and I, we both went to the Colorado, University of Colorado. Ethan was born there, but I'm from Washington State, and I moved there when I was around 20 years old, and I went to school there, but about 10 years apart. Actually.
Yeah, it's quite funny. Quite a coincidence that we met in Brazil and we're from different states, but we just happened to go to the same university. So quite serendipitous that.
Serendipitous? What does that mean?
Serendipity or something serendipitous is like a happy coincidence.
Mm-hmm. And what about what I said in the intro, like eggnoggin?
Oh yeah, you said eggnoggin. So what does that mean?
Eggnog is the Christmas drink, right? It's made with eggs. I don't know what else it's made with, but people put alcohol in it sometimes too. But
eggs, cream, rum. It's like quite a weird combination. I've made it. I'll probably make it this year, but I don't know how that was invented because it's really strange. Like it's actually like raw eggs, cream, like heavy cream, spices, sugar, of course, and rum. And it's just, it's a really great drink, but it just sounds gross when you hear it. You can have a virgin eggnog.
Virgin? What's up with that?
Virgin is, we use that for like, or you might say like a mocktail, right? Because mock means fake. So if you have a cocktail or you have some alcoholic drink without alcohol, we call it virgin. Because I guess because for a young person who can't drink alcohol yet, or for maybe someone who does not like to drink alcohol, but still wants to enjoy some sort of mixed drink.
I'm going to use that one, the mocktail, because I had never heard that before, actually.
Really? That's awesome. great. So we have, we're really excited. Justin and I love this topic all about. That's why we got Justin on and Andrea's taking a break, because we love this topic of goal setting, of, you know, trying to achieve big objectives, something we're trying to do here at Real Life English, and something that can be extremely powerful for your English learning. But before we get into that, we have a shout out for a very special listener and app user.
Yes, this is from Ghazal Raz. Not sure where this person's from, but I used to watch Real Life videos on YouTube, so I'm familiar with Ethan and his philosophy of learning English. The app is better because it has transcription and I can follow conversations and shadow them or repeat them loudly. Thank you, Ethan. By the way, sometime during the work, I say, let's dive in with your intonation. Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic, Ghazal. So... they said that they like to shadow it on the, it's really great because if you're listening to this on the app, then you'll be following along with the transcript. But what does it mean if you're shadowing while you listen and read the transcript?
It's like imitation, right? So for example, if I can say, what'd you think? That's a nice word, expression to shadow, because it's connected speech, right? What'd you think? You can imitate me very closely, right? You follow very close behind what I'm saying. So you need to learn the text, actually, or learn the audio that you're listening to, and then followed right immediately behind that person.
Right. Yeah, you're kind of like listening and trying to say it at the same time. And so if you're have on the app, it's actually highlights for you, at least very approximately the part that's being said. So it's almost like a karaoke in a sense for your pronunciation. And just as Ghazal said that they like to try to imitate my intonation saying, let's dive in. So that's another connected speech where you have that T being dropped in let's and probably the dive hooking onto the in. So let's dive in. And with that said, let's dive into today's kick-ass quote.
Okay, this is from Vern McClellan. What the new year brings to you will depend a great deal on what you bring to the new year. So how would you describe that? How would you explain that, Ethan?
Yeah, it's an awesome turn of words because a lot of people might be curious this time of year what the new year will bring to them. And that basically means like, you know, what new experiences will you have? What new things will you learn? What things will happen in your life over the next 12 months? And he says it depends a great deal on, and when you say that, if something depends a great deal on something, it means it depends a lot on what you bring to the new year. So in this sense, it's another way to use bring, meaning, you know, what preparation are you putting into it? What attitude are you bringing to it? So, you know, are you thinking, in a sense, are you thinking optimistically or pessimistically? Are you sitting down and thinking a little bit about what you actually want to achieve? Are you planning out how you're going to achieve those things? So not just saying that I want to get in shape and then signing up for a gym membership, but maybe you go a couple of times and then it just gets rusty or gets dusty over the next 12 months, but actually having a plan for how you're going to make a habit of going to the gym however many times per week that you want to go there and not having that fall apart, which we're going to be talking about a lot more. So I'd say with that, we can jump into today's main topic all about how you can make 2022 one of the best years ever for your English and for your life.
Hey there, Real Lifer. Have you downloaded the Real Life English app yet? On the app, Andrea and I will guide you beyond the classroom to live, learn, and even speak English in the real world. So how do we do this? To start with, you can listen to the Real Life English podcast and Beyond Borders talk show, even this very episode, with digital transcripts so that you can follow along and develop your listening fluency. Plus, check dozens of definitions of all the most difficult vocabulary, idioms, phrasal verbs, slang, and so much more that you won't find anywhere else or in any other podcast. And how would you like to develop real-life speaking confidence at the touch of a button by speaking with other learners while making friends across cultures? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, now with the Real Life app, it will be a dream come true. Download the app to listen to our podcast with transcripts and definitions whenever and wherever you want, and speak with people from all around the world. What are you waiting for? Join our global community today by clicking the link in the description of this podcast or by going to www.reallifeglobal.com/app. That's APP. Or simply search for the Real Life English app in the Google Play or Apple App Store today and let us guide you beyond the classroom to live and learn and speak English in the real world. Aw, yeah.
Each year, I think both Justin and I will sit down at some point, maybe towards the end of the year, the beginning of the year, and we will reflect a little bit on the last year and thinking about, you know, what went well, what things can we improve on, what mistakes did we make, and then out of that, planning the next 12 months. And this is something, as we've been saying, that can really be extremely powerful for anything that you want to achieve, for just being more active and kind of creating the life that you want to live and not letting life just happen to you. So, Justin, why do you find doing an annual review is helpful?
Well, let's just call it the elephant in the room here. Elephant in the room is the fact that a lot of people kind of poo-poo this. What does poo-poo mean, Mr. V?
If you poo-poo something, it's like you look down on that thing. You tell people that they shouldn't do it.
Yeah, it's kind of new agey, right? New age, kind of cliche. People look at, you know, annual reviews and say it's people are destined to fail. And that's kind of true in some sense. If you're waiting the entire year and you just, you know, have to dig deep and find this burst of motivation to do this on New Year's or you know, another moment, then you're probably going to fail because you haven't made it a part of who you are. So I think it's best served to kind of take advantage of the momentum happening in the world. You know, the external world is telling you, it's a good moment to reflect and kind of dig deep, but you should be doing this regularly. You should be building the systems in your life regularly and kind of using, in my opinion, like New Year's is good and your birthday, depending on when it falls. Like my birthday falls in March. So it's nice because it kind of gives like a little bit of a renewal of those New Year reflections, right? So definitely it's important to just kind of come back and have a one-on-one with myself, kind of check in, right? And make some time, think deeply, answer some questions, you know, see what I'm doing, not doing correctly, see what I can do better, and then integrate those in my life. And hopefully, I mean, generally, if I have good systems, if I'm making the time to take care of myself, to bring my best self every day, to learn, to be really dedicated to the habits I'm trying to build and things I'm trying to do, then it shouldn't be too much. It should just be kind of like a little bit of a shot in the arm.
Yeah. What does that mean if something's a shot in the arm?
A shot is like a, you can say like a vaccine, for example, but a shot in the arm is in this sense is like a dose of something, right? So a dose in this case, it's a shot in the arm is like an extra boost of energy, right? So if you're kind of tired or something, or maybe you're ready to go to sleep or something, but you get a shot in the arm, something that wakes you up and kind of moves you forward, right?
Yeah. Or like you said, your birthday falls in March. Maybe you were really excited. You kind of did your annual planning over January, February, things went well, but then maybe, you know, you start getting busy. You start making excuses to not go to the gym or to not be going for runs or to not be practicing a new language that you wanted to learn. And so then, you know, you're getting a shot in the arm on your birthday by kind of coming back to your why, coming back to the reason that those things were important to you in this new year, and getting that energy again to continue. So I actually read this book, think of his last year, called When by Daniel Pink. And it's really interesting because he talks a lot about this, about, because a lot of people, you were saying, might poo-poo on that if you're only doing this once a year and so. But the reason that this is good is because they're kind of these markers in the year for us. So if you're just trying to randomly do this, it might not be as easy or effective for you as if it's on an important date like New Year's or a birthday, which psychologically for most people are kind of times of renewal or times of beginning again. So he talks about that's really important, is kind of having these rituals where you can begin again. So I think that's really great, because even if things up until this point haven't gone how you wanted, so maybe, you know, you haven't been successful, for example, in your English learning, but not letting that get you down, not making excuses, because you can always begin again. You can always start over and really hit the ground running.
Yeah. And for you, for example, well, actually, let me just ask you, hit the ground running, what does that mean?
You hit the ground running, it's like you get a really great start at something. So it might be, for example, if we're talking about doing an annual review and annual planning, that helps you to hit the ground running in 2022 because you've done kind of some pre-work that's going to help you to be more effective and successful.
So if you're listening to this, dear listener, on January 1st, January 2nd, you're hitting the ground running already. So we're helping you out here on this. But one of the things I was going to say, Ethan, here is that you're actually the opposite. So it's like your birthday is in October, right? So you could almost like, you know, reconstruct those habits in October, and then New Year's can be that shot in the arm, right? New Year's can be that kind of renovation of those habits. And because you can take advantage of all that momentum, and because you're already in good shape. Because if you're if you have habits that aren't really in good shape by the time New Year's hits, you're starting from zero. So you haven't really automated those habits yet. So it's like, you know, it takes like, it depends on who you're talking to, but 20 to, you know, 70 days to really build a habit, right? So if you're starting on day one, it's a lot of like willpower, right? So it's really, really important to, again, that phrase, like to use your willpower in a very responsible way to, you know, build, install habits that are automatic after, right? Because, you know, once you at the beginning it's hard, but once you build a habit, then it gets easy. Then it's like you're drawn, you're attracted to that behavior, and you can focus your willpower on creating new habits, right? Because if you try to create, you know, 10 habits at the same time, you're going to fail because you just can't. You don't have enough willpower, right? You don't have enough attention. Everything's just too hard.
Yeah, which I think that's why, as part of annual planning, resolutions probably aren't so good, because resolutions just are kind of positive thinking without any foundation under them. But if you're actually doing a goal setting, it can be important to be a bit humble in your goal setting. If you're being too ambitious, which a lot of times it's just good and everything, you get really excited and you want to do a lot of different things. But the problem with that is that then, you know, maybe you'll get started you might end up disappointing yourself a little bit because it's just not going to be able to fit into your life. You have other priorities. You probably have work or maybe studies or family, other things. So you really need to be a bit realistic in this process to kind of see what else is going on in your life, how much time you actually have to dedicate to these new goals. And then, like Justin was saying, one of the most effective things you can do is to build it into habit. And I think a really great way to do that too is to begin with really baby steps. So, you know, if your goal is to start running a few times a week, you don't want to start just saying, I'm going to run, you know, 5 kilometers or what would that be, like 3 miles right off the bat. You want to start really small, make it really easy for you. So it's almost so easy that it would be really difficult for you to actually make an excuse. So maybe you could make it that you're just going to go for a run around your block or something like that, that, you know, being able to say, I don't have time to do that, it's just going to sound a little bit ridiculous in your mind. And once you've done that, you could start just leaving your shoes, you know, all ready to go in the morning, putting on your shoes in the morning, going for that run around the block, and then coming back. And then once you've really built that habit, then you can start saying, okay, well, now I'm going to go 4 blocks, or I'm going to go 1 kilometer. And then you can build on that. And eventually you will make it to 5 kilometers, 10 kilometers, however much you're wanting to do. But if you're kind of starting with the baby steps and stacking up on that, you're much more likely to be successful because you will have built a habit before you've been able to give in to a lot of the resistance and excuses that are going to cause you to fail.
There's a really great book on habit formation there are a couple of them. Like, one is Power of Habit. I think this is something we both read a while back. It was pretty impactful. More recent book that I read is called Atomic Habits. And this is by James Clear. And it's really interesting because he kind of outlines, you know, this formula for habits. You know, it's like, I don't remember like all the tips he gave, but something can make it attractive, right? Make it easy. Like putting your shoes next to putting your running clothes. You know, if you want to go running, put them next to, you know, so you don't need to look for them in the morning, right? Get everything prepared. Also like habit stacking, he calls this. For example, like we always say, you know, listen to this podcast while you're cooking, while you're cleaning, you know, or while you're running. And then oftentimes, like, I find myself, I'll go running. If I have a good podcast to listen to, it'll be just motivate me to go running because I'll be like, oh, I got to go listen to the podcast because I want to listen to it. So I can kill 2 birds with 1 stone, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I've even heard that there's studies that say that you learn better when you're exercising, when you're in movement. So really you are killing 2 birds with 1 stone because it's even more efficient that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. So with regards to learning English, let's dig a little bit deeper there. So actually we have a gift for you guys. Can you tell a little bit more about that gift, Ethan?
Yeah. So we have this PDF guide that we created, I think it was actually a couple of years ago, but we tend to kind of come back to this and share it every year because a lot of learners have given us some great feedback that they find it really helpful to have that moment of reflection, to sit down and to really clarify, you know, what they want to do with their English. And you can, of course, apply this to anything else that you're wanting to do in the next year. But it's called the 3 Questions Guide to Take Your English to the Next Level. And we're kind of piggybacking on a really great idea, on a really great method from Simon Sinek, which a lot of our listeners, I'm sure you have heard of. But he has a really popular TED Talk called Start With Why. And he has this golden circle. So we like to call it, as applied to English, the golden circle of fluency, starting with why in the middle, going to how on the next ring out, and then what on the very last ring. And he kind of talks about in that TED Talk that most people tend to start with what. So, for example, if you're sitting down to do your annual plan, you might say, well, this year I really want to be fluent in English. But that's, first of all, very vague. And second of all, just being fluent in English probably isn't going to motivate you very much if you don't have a really strong why, a really deep burning purpose for why that is important to you individually.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is really important to kind of cultivate that purpose. And actually the Simon in that TED Talk, he says kind of go from why to what. So cultivating that purpose and then setting those goals is really important. You know, that burning desire and then also having a clear idea of what you want. But there is kind of that debate over, you know, you don't need, like in the habit book I just talked about, Atomic Habits, they talk about, you know, action is the first thing. Action will generate the emotion, right? So it's like if you're feeling tired and you don't want to get out of bed, just get out of bed and exercise and you're going to want to do it more because the motion generates the emotion, right? So you can come at it from both ways. But in some sense, like we are really big proponents of, you know, actually going through the exercise of cultivating that purpose. And that's something you can always revisit. It's much easier to reconnect to over time. And then, so going from the why, you know, that purpose, doing your goal setting, like at Real Life English, we do, like we set objectives all the time. And then like really thinking critically, thinking deeply, diagnosing deep problems, thinking about, you know, where we're going and with, you know, connected to a deep why as well. But then from there, it's like the how. Then you really develop the methodology. How do we get there? Like, what are the actions that we're going to take? And those are the habits, right?
Yeah, and it might be even the strategy. We've been talking about some, but the how might even be the strategy for how you're going to form those habits. So be it the advice that we gave about running, maybe you could apply also to English learning. So maybe if you want to fix up some of the mistakes that you make commonly, so maybe you'll find a really great book on that's going to help you with grammar, because maybe there's some tenses that you find really difficult or some aspects you find really difficult. So you might leave that like right where you have your coffee every morning so that it's right there already. It's even open to the page that you're going to study. So as soon as you sit down with your coffee, it's right there in front of you. No excuses.
And going back to why a little bit, thinking about this is something, there's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. This is something that's actually on the worksheet from the guide that we offer in the show notes. And Maslow's hierarchy of needs is basically a pyramid that on the bottom of the pyramid, the kind of fundamental human needs are like security, safety, right? And to actually make a living. And then as you go up, there's like self-esteem, and then there's relationships, and then there's self-transcendence at the top. It's like self-realization, right? But really to be in a place where you can realize yourself, where you can transcend yourself and you know, give to other people, you have to have your lower needs met. Because if you don't have air, if you don't have food, it's really hard to worry about those higher level needs. So in some sense, English serves people on many different levels. It can, you know, you can get a better job. For some people, that's what English does. It gives people a way to make to participate in the global economy, right? This is, since COVID especially, the world is opening up for many opportunities. And if you speak English, you can completely participate in that. And if you have those skills, you can work for companies and, you know, other places all around the world. And we have a global team, right? 20 people, you know, working distributed. We don't call it remote. We call it distributed because there's not like a center satellite. We don't have a headquarters. But then the next level up, right? It's self-esteem. If you learn English, if you know English, then, you know, you're the best version of yourself. You're a much better version of yourself, right? Like you can access this completely different level of culture, of media, of information, right? You see the world from a different perspective, right? You can connect with people all around the world and you develop your global tribe. You have friends from all around the world. You have a network. You can travel, meet people, connect with people. And that is quite an adventure. And then on the highest level, all of that will permit you to really self-realize. Going back to that Maslow's hierarchy of needs on that top level, it's like you live your greatest life, right? And if English can help a lot of people live that way, and if we can, more and more people can self-realize, then together we can actually create a radically better planet and solve a lot of the problems that we need to solve nowadays, because if not, we're going to have lots of problems in the next 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah. And it would be a real shame if someone who had all this potential to help solve some of these big problems were just limited to their local because they don't speak the global language. So it's just so important to, I think that's a really great way to find your why, is to think about what's the change that you want to affect in the world personally. And for most of us, the best way to do that, or for most of us, a really important vehicle to do that is going to be being able to communicate with people, not just where we live, but people all over the world.
Yeah. And that gives you, in some sense, I mean, obviously your native language is one thing. It's where you come from. It's your roots, right? But when you speak English, you become multidimensional, right? You have a very flexible perspective. And then once you learn a second language, it's much easier to learn a third. And also it's not just language, it's perspectives too. It's perspective taking, perspective shifting, right? You can look at the world and see like that really, it's, you know, it's a multitude of perspectives, right? And that gives us a lot more humility. I think anybody, not just English, right? Like you and I are native English speakers. So, but for us, it's leaving the United States, traveling to, like, I think your first language was German, right? And then, yeah. And for me, like, I went to Mexico, right? And so and all of my caricatures, my stereotypes that I had about the world, and I still have caricatures and stereotypes, and everybody does. Like, no, you can't never, not, nobody's going to have a perfect vision of the world. And like, if we have a gap in the way that we look at the world, we're not going to have the information that we need to have an accurate picture of the world. So we have stereotypes in those places, right? So, but as you adapt, the stereotypes become much more like flexible and more humble, in the sense where it's open to new information, because you kind of laugh at it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you see that oftentimes there's a seed of truth in a stereotype. They tend to come from somewhere, but it's obviously not representative of the entire population of any place. So while I'm going to use an American one, so that hopefully I'm not offending anyone, but that, you know, people say that Americans are fat, arrogant. I don't know. We get the ugly tourist sort of stereotype, and that definitely exists in the United States. You can find a lot of people who are overweight. You can find a lot of people who are arrogant. You can find a lot of people who are very loud. I definitely experienced that myself when I arrive at the airport in the United States. The decibels seem a little bit more than other places where I've lived, but at the same time, you're going to find people who are the exact opposite, people who are very humble, people who are in great shape. I mean, like here in Colorado, it tends to be the opposite of a lot of the United States, because we're in the mountains, people love doing things outdoors. You can find people, you know, who don't watch any TV, who love reading. You can find everything. So I think that's something that's having that broad perspective of the world, being able to kind of step away from your judgments is one of the most important skills that you can develop as a human being.
Yeah, absolutely. And just recognize that, like, you know, whatever country you're from, it's like, those are just localities, right? And those localities have their good and their bad. Everybody has backgrounds. There's good and the bad, right? There's no place that's like absolutely good. It's like, we're all human beings, and that's what's most important, right? Like, going back to, you know, that phrase that we always use, no matter what divides us, what unites us is far greater. Right. And so the rest, they're just details. Right. And we can laugh about them. We can joke around about them. But I mean, of course, in respectful situations. Right. But it's not the most important thing.
Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode.
Okay, so let's leave people... Before we wind down to finish this podcast, let's leave people with a nice, very tangible, really practical tip that they can use coming from the real life way, coming from real life English, what we teach. So, you know, helping people, you know, live their English, make it a part of their life. We already talked about the why, which is really important, right? We talked about goal setting, you know, building habits, all this stuff. But we always try to help people really make it a part of their lives, make it a part of who they are. So how would you recommend that people make English a part of their lives and part of who they are, Ethan? How would you recommend that people live their English in 2022?
Yeah, so we got a little bit into the habit formation, things that you can do just to make it super easy, doing that pre-work the day before so you're all ready to go first thing in the morning. But some of the things that we always talk about are making it fun, natural, and convenient. So certainly one way to do that is, if you're not already, you can listen to this podcast on our app and you can follow along with the transcript. That makes it a lot easier. But the really great thing there too is that you can speak to people from around the world. We've been talking about developing a global perspective. So speaking to people from a variety of different countries is a great way to do that, just to firsthand see how people live in different places and to ask about their cultures. And you can do that at the touch of a button, anytime, anywhere. You know, maybe you're having your coffee break during lunch and you can have a quick 5 or 10 minute conversation with a couple of people. And, you know, this way you can kind of take advantage of those different moments to practice your speaking, which most learners I talk to, that's kind of like their biggest frustration is they have no opportunities to speak. So taking away any excuses that you have not to do that, because it's super convenient for you. And, you know, you're all in the same boat because you're speaking to people from around the world who just like you are learning English. So they're going to have a lot of empathy for you. They'll understand, you know, if it's a bit scary for you, if you're a little bit anxious. And I think if you haven't done that yet, if you go and do it and you have a few conversations, the thing that we see for most learners is at first they're frightened about what's going to happen and everything. But after a few conversations, they're relaxed. They're having a great time. They're excited to meet people from these countries that they know nothing about, or that they've had they've never gotten to meet anyone from there. And, they're actually using their English in the real world. So that's really exciting transformation for you. So that's one thing I think that can really help you to live your English this year. And then of course, some things we always talk about here is, you know, getting hooked on a great TV show, or, something else we could, maybe if you're listening to this podcast, you could try to experiment with listening to some podcasts that are not created for English learners, but that are just sharing really interesting information, because you can find podcasts about really any topic that you're interested in. There's just tons of them nowadays. So maybe searching for one and just giving it a try. It'll be uncomfortable at first, but most podcast players, you can slow it down. You can listen as many times as you need to. And if you're patient little by little, it'll get a lot easier and you're going to really take your listening to the next level.
Absolutely. I would say I would throw in there music too. Music is really great. Changing your phone to English, right? Changing the configurations and the programs that you use on, you know, your whatever social networks you use, put it in English. Changing the settings. And also, you said fun, natural, convenient. That's really important, right? To live your English, but also making it deliberate, right? Finding those moments where you actually sit down and concentrate, where you get feedback from people. It's a little bit harder, right? It's not as natural sometimes, but that's really important too. So maybe you can grab a recorder and actually, you know, record yourself, you know, maybe next to like a song that you're learning with, maybe next to a TV series that you're learning with, rewind, play it, and then listen to yourself comparing. That's really important. Writing, getting feedback from people.
Or even as our shout out today, Gazla said, doing it with the podcast on the app with the transcript there. You can shadow along with us and try to really listen in for that connected speech, listen in for the intonation, and try to imitate that. Or, you know, it could be with anything. YouTube video with subtitles, TED Talk, TV series.
Creating flashcards too, vocabulary flashcards. This is really huge. This is actually something we're bringing on our app pretty soon. We're developing this right now. But so as you listen to this, as you watch our YouTube videos, take note of the vocabulary you're learning, right? Make flashcards. You know, flashcard is on one side, for example, if we're saying like eggnog, we said that word earlier. On eggnog, you put eggnog on one side, on the other side, you put the definition of it, right? And this is just something you review. You look at it, eggnog. What does that mean? And you try to remember the definition. You can also look at the other side. Look at the definition and try to remember the word.
Usually you have pictures and stuff to help you to, a lot of us are very visual learners, so that can help to give you an extra hook to make sure it sticks in your mind. I just thought since you shared that, maybe it could be interesting to share other things that are coming on the app in this year.
Yeah, so that's basically one of the things, that's the main thing that we're working on in the app. We're building an entire experience around the flashcards. And that plus, or the premium, we're not sure what we're calling it actually, but kind of a new module of the app that's going to have that, a chance to extend the conversation, remove the timer. Like right now there's a 4-minute timer. You can extend it to 8 minutes. But so we're going to have an option to do that, but as part of the plus or the premium, whatever we call it. And a few other surprise features that we have coming, but we're creating an entire experience around it. And it's probably going to be out in the spring sometime. So maybe around March, but we're working really hard on that. And it's going to be pretty awesome. But as far as today's, all the things we talked about, think of just one thing. What's one thing you could do? Keeping it simple, keeping it easy, keeping those baby steps. Remember, it doesn't matter. You don't need to do everything. It's just a question of choosing that one thing and also being consistent. It's good to make it, it's really important to make it a daily habit. You don't need to do it every single day, but most days. So that when you wake up, you know you're going to do something with English. Just keep that momentum going.
Yeah. And if you fall down, if you make a mistake, if you fail, just start again And if you fall again, start again, and just kind of keep that mantra in your head to keep going, because your life will get busy. Things will get hard. It might not always be convenient. You might not always feel motivated to study, but just when you fall down, just start again. Maybe if you have a birthday sometime in the middle of the year too, that can be another opportunity for you to kind of come back and try to build again that inner fire and everything. But hopefully some of the advice we've given you today has been helpful. Really recommend that, you know, over the next weeks, if you haven't already, to reflect a little bit how your last year was, to think a little bit about what you really want to accomplish this year, to create a plan to do that. And we'll be sharing more resources for that as well. So be sure to go to the show notes of this episode, which are linked in the description, and you can download that free PDF, as I mentioned, the 3 questions guide to take your English to the next level. And we will see you next week on the Real Life English Podcast. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes, like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend, or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.